I'm going to step up here into the pulpit because it is here. I'm going to bring up a little bit of what's going on, not just today, but for all of us.
For those of you who follow along in the Pew Bibles, please turn to pages 1666 and 1667 for Ephesians 3, 14, 21. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, and high, and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, and to all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
You know, that verse that Carter read for us, it reminds us, especially that conclusion, you know, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. This is like our doxology. It is pointing the attention of our minds and our lives to the place where it really belongs. That song we did at the in the middle of the offering song, that he is a good, good father. And it's because we are connected with him that we get to understand who we are. If we don't understand that he is our good, good father, we don't know and we cannot find our true identity, that we are loved by him. There is something so critical in this idea of keeping our gaze in the right place, the attention of our minds in the right place, because the world is filled with distractions. This idea that for forever and ever, through all generations, this sounds like there is a constancy to life. But you and I know that while there is some constancy to life, what it really feels much more like is that there is constant change all around us. Change is one of those things that is a challenge for everyone, but it's part of what it means to be human being, isn't it? You know, I'm going to do this for the very first time ever in my preaching career. I'm going to quote Charles Darwin. Seriously, I've quoted Fidel Castro, I've quoted Karl Marx, but I've never quoted Charles Darwin until today. Darwin said, "It is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent of the species that survives," and I'm really glad for that. "It is the one that is most adaptable to change." And I'm not talking about evolution of species here necessarily. I'm talking about the importance it is for all of us as we navigate through this world, that we must be adaptable to change, because God, while he remains the same, he ministers to us in midst all kinds of contexts which are ever changing, which means his ministry changes to us, which means that we, in response to his ministry, must change in order to be appropriate for the times that are, well, the times they are a changing. I have quoted Bob Dylan before. And I've also quoted Mark Twain. Mark Twain said this, "The only person who likes change is a baby with a wet diaper." And that is also pretty much mostly true, because change, though it is exciting at times, and especially if we're the ones pushing the buttons for that change, but most of the changes around us aren't because we're pushing the buttons, but it's because life around us is evolving and changing, and we've got to deal with a changing environment. It's true for us as individual humans that change happens all around. It is inevitable, and it's also true for us as a church that we must be able to address change as it begins to come to us, so that we can appropriately minister in a way that is faithful to all generations forever and ever. church is constantly in the midst of this change. By the way, I know some of you have seen this before, and you're going to be so tired of it, or you'll catch me on it. There was a rhyme I learned when I was a kid going to Sunday school. Maybe you learned it too in Sunday school. It went something like this. Here is the church. Here is the steeple. You open the doors. Oh, I'm hearing it. And you see all the people, right? Yeah, you know, I learned that as a kid, but I don't like it. And for those of you who are New Life Church, you know I don't like it. I made up my own new rhyme, okay? And it goes like this. Here is the church. It doesn't rhyme. Okay, I'll give you that. It doesn't rhyme. You know, it's not very catchy. I don't think it's going to catch on. But what am I saying? I'm saying that we are the church. Church is not a building. Church is not a sign. Church is not a label. Church is not anything that is human, except it is a gathering of humans who are connected to their Savior, their good, good Father. And so because the church is a group of humans connected to their consistent and unchanging good, good God, but in the midst of our changing, constantly changing world that we are in, that we are called to be constantly in a state of evolving and changing as God continues to lead us. Final quote here I'm going to have, and this is from my good friend Alphonse Carr. I've said this many times. I never knew who said it, and I still don't know. I probably won't know in 5 minutes. But he said, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And this is especially true for us as believers, that though we live in a world of constant change, there are some things that we can say never change. And this is what is going to launch us unto this passage here in Ephesians 3, that we're going to see here that when Paul prayed for the church 2,000 years ago and wrote it into this letter to the Ephesian church, that he is really, this is the prayer for you and I as well. All of us pray, probably all of us could pray more, but the reality is that this prayer that is captured in this section of the New Testament is a critical piece for us to understand how it is we are to not only operate as a church, but also pray for one another and for us as a church as we seek to be the church that lasts and ministers in our generation. Okay, so the verse begins like this. It starts in verse 14, as Carter read for us. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Okay, here's the prayer, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with the power of his Spirit in your inner being. And there's a reason for it. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This is Paul's prayer for you and for me and for each of us, that no matter what it is we may be facing, no matter what it is challenge-wise or excitement or joy-wise, whatever the next chapter of life is for us or is for me individually or is for us as a church body, that there is something here that we pray that we will be able to, out of his glorious riches, be strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit into our inner being so that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith. There's a second part of the prayer that Paul prayed that Carter read for us today. And he said, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power with all the Lord's holy people. And he's going to have power with all the Lord's holy people to do three things. This is God's goal for us. This is why Paul prayed this for the church. This is why Paul prayed this for us, so that we might do these three things. We would have power to do these things once we have been established in love. And the three things are to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. This is critical for us. We need to get our brains wrapped around this. This needs to be the very heart of the church. This needs to be the very core of who we are, to recognize how high, how deep, and how great the love is of Christ for us. Because without this, we become insecure. Without this, we become self-centered. Without this, we become selfish and ingrown. We need to recognize that we are dearly loved by our Heavenly Father. And beyond that, that's our place, our base of operation, how we move forward. Secondly, we all also are called to know this love that surpasses all knowledge, so that we might be filled, and this is, again, the part of the prayer, to the measure of all fullness of God. Now, I'm going to ask you, not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of us would like to be able to, in those moments of our weakness and brokenness, in weariness and darkness, would like to be able to be reminded of how great the love of God is for you? And how much that love is going to go beyond even our understanding. And that sense of how many of us would love to just be filled, not just with a little, but to the full measure of what God has in store for us. This is a prayer which Paul prayed for you and for me, but he also, we can pray it for ourselves, we can pray it for our brothers and sisters. I'm praying for Carl this week because he's going to be dealing with radiation, and that's no fun. But I also want to pray for Carl that he is able to grasp how long and how wide and deep the love of Christ is for him, that he would have that love and it would surpass even his ability to grasp it, and to the point where he is filled this week, not just with radiation, but with the fullness of God. So the prayer for the church kind of wraps up this way. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. How much is that? How much is that? Is that enough? Sometimes we think, I'm not going to be able to make it. It's not going to be enough. God's not going to come through. God's not going to do whatever I have need for it. You know, God can do more than we can ask, even and imagine. And this is according to his power. Check this out. This is so cool. The way that he is going to accomplish this more than you could ask or imagine is not through some outside power source. It is through the power that is at work already within you. See, God has already worked within each and every one of us as believers in Jesus, that we now have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. So the power to do even more than we could ask or imagine. Who knows what God has in the future for any one of us or us as a whole? Who knows what that might be? But I know it's probably bigger than you and I can imagine, because it says so right here. That God has got great plans. If we will allow him to do that, that we will trust in his Spirit, and as we'll allow him to work in and through us, that power that's already resident within us is a power that can change the world. Atwater Baptist Church, New Life Community Church, are you ready to change the world? All right, we got 5 people. That's awesome. All right, well, you know what? That's all we need. Because those 5 with God is a majority, okay? But we can, and it's not because it's on our strength or our smarts, it's because God has called us to be that, to be this world-changing element which touches the lives of those around us, that begins to bless and spread, because that's what this does. This is amazing stuff that he has put in our care, that we already hold on to this resident power within us to be world changers. God is an amazing God, and he has called each of us to be a part of his advance. So I'm going to invite our team to come up. We're going to close today with this. We're going to pray for our lunch. It's going to be awesome. We're going to pray for God's moving us, not just to lunch, but through lunch into what God has for us in the future. So glad you all have been here to be a part of this. And so let us pray. Father, we thank you for this commissioning and for this reminder today that amidst all that is going on in and around us, that you remain true, that you remain constant, and that your best for us is your goal for us. God, forgive us when we come up short because we fail to trust you to allow your best to be ours. Enable us to be emboldened to move forward from this day. We thank you for this gathering through worship, God. We thank you for the gathering during this time of our meal together. I pray that you would continue to knit hearts and make this fellowship something that goes beyond just sharing some time, but would truly begin to be the knitting together of hearts for your glory and for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.